Chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, and how many believe we need old time Holy Ghost revival today, amen? Hey, but I believe we need revival. And as you stand across the building out of the reading and reverence of God's word, listen, the preacher don't know what you need. The preacher don't know what you need, but I'm glad the Lord knows. Amen. I'm reminded of the story of the man that ran into the pharmacy, and there was the pharmacist behind the counter. The man ran up, said, "Hey," he said, "I need something for hiccups immediately." The pharmacist reached across the counter, smacked him across the face. The man staggered back. He said, "Man, are you crazy?" The pharmacist said, "How's the hiccups?" He said, "How do I know? My wife's got them. She's out in the car, amen." And so I may not know what you need, but God does, amen. God knows what you need. And I believe he'll minister to you this morning, this week. Listen, you can't get your blessing unless you're here, amen. So you come and let God minister to you to this week. And these last days we need revival. I do want to say before I read, I believe Sister Heather has given me one more thing to appreciate her and admire. Listen, not only is she raising five daughters, but she can play the drums and sing at the same time. Amen. I said, anybody can do that, man. They're good. Amen. Praise God. Hey, Exodus chapter 12, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look to your neighbor on the right and tell him, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here. Amen. 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 It's just good. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 1. I'll read fast and you pray hard. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man," notice these next two words, say them with me, "a lamb." If you got a pen, underline that or make a notation next to your Bible. If you don't have a pen, mark it down in your memory, "a lamb. According to the house of their fathers," there it is again, "a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for," say these next two words, "the lamb." Amen. Underline that, "the lamb." Amen. If you got a pen, underline it. Make a note in your Bible. If you ain't got a pen, mark it in your memory, "the lamb. Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating, they shall make your count for." There it is again, "the lamb." But oh, look at verse 5. Woo! Business is picking up. Say these next two words with me, "your lamb." Woo! If you got a pen, underline it, make a note in your Bible. If you ain't got a pen, mark it in your memory, "your lamb." "Oh yes, yeah, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood." How many's glad for the blood?
Amen.
Praise God for the blood. "And strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Look at two more verses, if you will, 12 and 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood." "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Brother Ray Tolson, would you ask a blessing on God's word, brother? Oh, God. Have your way, Lord. Hey, man, you may be seated. If the Lord would help me for this morning, Pastor Tim, for just a few moments, I want to preach on the Lamb of God. Woo! the Lamb of God. Just to give us a little understanding, Brother Thad, of what's going on at this point, we understand that Israel has been in the bondage of Egypt for 430 years. For 430 years, they have served under the hard taskmasters of Egypt and been mistreated and done wrong. And there they were enslaved in bondage for all them centuries. But all God had a plan. How many's glad that God had a plan? Amen. God sent them a deliverer by the name of Moses. You might well remember that there were 9 plagues that had already been poured out upon Egypt. Preacher Keith, listen, the judgment of God was being poured out upon Egypt. But can I just remind you, friend, judgment is coming. Amen. Judgment is coming. Oh, one preacher said the wheels of God's justice may grind slow, but they do grind, friend. Judgment is coming to you and to me. Judgment is coming to America. Judgment is coming to this world. And God had a 10th plague that he was fixing to pour out. Oh, listen, I know I'm far enough south, you know what fixing means, amen. He was getting ready to pour out his judgment. It was the death of the firstborn, and nobody would escape this except that God would provide a means. Oh, yes, listen, the firstborn from Pharaoh that sat upon the throne to the firstborn of him that was in the dungeon, even the firstborn of the cattle would suffer in this plague, but God had a plan. Oh, yes, you remember the plan was for them to take a lamb. Oh, yes, and then they were to take the blood of that lamb. Listen, and they were to apply it to the side post and upper door post of the door. And God said, Brother David, when I pass through the land of Egypt, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, I'm glad for the blood. I want you to notice here what he says in verse 3. He says, a lamb. But then in verse 4, he said, the Lamb. But oh, I'm glad for verse 5. Oh, Brother Tim, I'm glad, preacher, for verse 5 when he said, your Lamb, your Lamb, your Lamb. Oh, I wonder today as you sit on a padded pew in Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, let me ask you a question. Is he your Lamb? Is he your lamb? I'm not talking about is he daddy's lamb or mommy's lamb? Is he grandma's lamb? Is he the preacher's lamb? Is he your lamb? Oh, yes, you see, I'm glad he's Brother Keith's lamb, and I'm glad he's Preacher Tim's lamb, but I'm real glad that he's my lamb. And so if the Lord would help me for just a little while, I want to preach on the Lamb of God. Oh, I want you to notice very quickly again in verse 3 when he says, a lamb. Say that with me. A lamb. If you're taking notes, I want you to write a word down, if you will. I want you to write the word convinced. Convinced. Because you see, I believe we're living in a day and time that not everybody is an agnostic and not everybody is an atheist. I believe we're living in a time that there are some that are convinced that he's a lamb. You see, when I was lost and undone, I was lost and undone. I was on my way to hell. I was a sinner. But you know what? I was convinced that he was a lamb. If you were to tell me that Jesus died on the cross, I'd say, yes, I believe that. If you told me he rose from the dead, I'd say, yes, I believe that. Oh, I did not deny it. I did not reject it. I did not refute it. I believed it was real. I did not know Christ. I was lost and undone, but I was convinced he was a lamb. Oh, yes. In fact, you meet some people that are lost and undone. Listen, living a life of sin and wickedness, and you were to share the gospel with them, they would agree with you 100%. And if you were to call it a fairy tale or just some old story, if you were to blackguard it in some way, you might have a fight on your hands. I know people who are lost and undone that do not like to hear God's name taken in vain because they're convinced that he's a lamb. Oh, they believe it's real. They do not know him, but they believe it's real. And I believe the Bible's filled with those who are convinced that he's a lamb. Look at Pilate. When they brought Jesus before Pilate, Pilate said, I find no reason that he should die. Pilate said, I've judged him and I've proved him, I've tried him, and I find no fault in him. In fact, when he heard that Jesus confessed to be the Son of God, he was troubled. It troubled him, the thought of this man professing to be the Son of God. And when Pilate washed his hands, he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You know what Pilate's fault was? Pilate's fault was he was more worried about what people thought than what God knew. And there's a lot of people going to miss heaven because they're more worried about what everybody else thinks than they are the truth. Amen. And but Pilate was convinced he was a lamb. I believe Pilate's wife was convinced that he was a lamb. Oh yes, you remember she came to him in Matthew chapter 27. She said, have nothing to do with this just man, for I've suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. You remember the centurion who had a part in the crucifixion of Christ? Oh, when that great darkness came upon the earth after Christ bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and the earth began to quake and the rocks began to rent in twain, he fell upon his knees and said, truly, this was the Son of God. I believe he was convinced he was a lamb. And you may be here today, sitting on a padded pew at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, and you are convinced it's real. You don't doubt it. You don't refuse it. You don't reject it. You do not know Christ. You've not come to him by faith and received him to be your Lord and Savior. If you were to die right now, you'd die lost and go to hell. But in your heart of hearts, you're convinced there's something about this. I believe it's real. Oh, I believe Christ died. I believe he rose again. You are convinced that he's a lamb. But oh, can I tell you, I'm glad for the day that I was not just convinced that he was a lamb. I want you to write another word down. I want you to write the word, whoop, convicted. I wasn't just convinced. I'm glad for the day I begin to get convicted. I wasn't just convinced that he was a lamb, but oh, I begin to get convicted that he was the lamb. Amen. That he wasn't just a lamb. I begin to get convicted that he is, whoop, the lamb. Amen. Oh yeah, I remember that glad day when the Holy Ghost of God began to trouble my soul and convict me of my sin. I was a big 16-year-old boy. I'd be laying in bed looking up at a dark ceiling and warm, salty tears would run down my cheeks. And I'd say, oh God, there's got to be more to life than this. I didn't know what it was, but the Lord began to convict me and begin to let me know who he really was. And oh, I remember that day sitting in that pew at that old Bible camp, and that old leather-lunged preacher began to tell me about Jesus, and the Holy Ghost of God began to convict my soul. And I began to realize he's not just a lamb, but oh, he's the lamb. Amen. And the words of the old preacher, John the Baptist, became real to me. As John said in John 1 and 29, behold, the Lamb of God that come to take away the sins of the world. Oh yes, no wonder why Jesus said of himself in John 14 and 6, he didn't say I'm a way. He didn't say I'm one of many ways. He didn't say I'm a pretty good way. He didn't even say I'm the best of ways. But whoa, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, thank God for the glad day. I began to get convicted and I saw him as the Lamb, that there was no other way, that my goodness wouldn't get me in. And listen, that my morality wasn't going to get me in, that my trying harder wasn't going to get me in, that my turning over a new leaf wasn't going to get me in, my going to church wasn't going to get me in. But the only hope I had was in the Lamb, in the Lamb, in the Lamb. Amen. Everybody all right? Amen. Amen. Say amen if you're all right this morning. I tried to act dignified. It don't work, amen. Woo! And no wonder why the old preacher Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Oh, I'm glad for the day I begin to get convicted and realize he's the Lamb. Oh, thank God. that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through the Lamb, might be saved. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad for that? And there may be somebody here, sitting here this morning, that God's been speaking to your heart, that God's been troubling you, that he's begun to convict you and let you know that he's the Lamb, that he's the only hope you have, that there's not salvation in any other form or fashion, but through him, the Lamb that came to shed his rich, red, raw, redeeming blood, that through him we could be saved, have the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of heaven. Don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know that he's the Lamb. Amen. Hold on a second. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. Amen. Woo! I believe I will. Amen. Heard a story. They said years ago, there was a man that worked at a slaughterhouse. They said that somebody came, Preacher Tim, to interview him many years ago. They began to talk about him, about his position, about his work, about what he did. And he said, I've worked in this slaughterhouse for many years. He said, I've seen them bring everything through. They've brought in cows. They've brought in pigs. They've brought in goats. They've brought everything in the world imaginable. And he said, everything they've ever brought in, oh, we had to tie it up. We had to force it and fight it. We had to shove it and push it and make it come in where we could slaughter that thing and kill it. But one day, one day, he said, they brought in a lamb. Oh, I'd never seen anything like it. He said, they brought this little lamb in, and it was so gentle. It walked into that place of to be killed. And he said, I remembered the words of the old preacher. I heard him preach Isaiah 53:7. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh, they brought that little lamb in. He never fought. He never tried to get away. He was so gentle. He said, I pulled my knife out, and he said, I began to cut his throat, and the blood began to run into his white fleece. And there I stood with the bloody knife in my hand. And he said, that lamb began to nudge me. And he began to lick my hand, the very hand that cut his throat, the very hand that shed his blood. He began to lick my hand and begin to nuzzle me. Oh, don't know about you, but I'm glad for the lamb that came to die for a sinner like me. Amen. Oh, I'm glad for the day I begin to get convicted that he's the Lamb. But it gets even gooder, because he ain't just a lamb, and he's not just the lamb. But aren't you glad for verse 5 when he said, your lamb? Woo! I want you to write this word down, not just convinced and not convicted, but converted. Woo! Aren't you glad for the day that he became your lamb? Oh yeah, he might have been mama's lamb, and he may have been papa's lamb. He may have been your spouse's lamb, your neighbor's lamb. He was the preacher's lamb. But aren't you glad for that day that you came to him by faith and you trusted in him to be your lamb? Can I just tell you, it ain't a question of when, but or if, but when. Judgment's coming, friend. And I'm glad that almost 33 years ago, I got it settled, brother. He's my lamb. He's my lamb. Praise God. Oh, today, is he your lamb? Amen. Is he your lamb? You see, there's some things that he tells us about your lamb. Listen to what he says about your lamb. Number one, he said your lamb had to be without blemish. Do you notice that? If you notice it, say amen. He said it had to be without blemish. I'm glad the old apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 said that this lamb And I'm talking about Jesus is without spot and he's without blemish. You remember what they were to do here in Exodus 12? For 4 days, they took this lamb and they proved him and they tried him and they made sure, preacher, that he was worthy to die. Made sure that he had no spot and no blemish. No wonder why in 1 Peter chapter 2, the old preacher said, he did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth when he was reviled. He reviled not again. When he, when he suffered, he threatened not. I'm talking about my lamb had no spot and no blemish. Now I know this old filthy world will try to tell you that Jesus was just a man and that he sinned. There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. The Bible said he did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Can I tell you, when he came riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, remember he rose from the dead on what we call Easter Sunday. He was in the grave for 3 days. I'm no mathematician, but that leaves 4 days that they tried him, proved him, and found no spot in him. Praise God, aren't you glad that there is no blemish in him? Amen. There's no blemish in him. He's without spot. But notice what else about your lamb. They said he had to be killed. He had to be killed. No wonder why in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible said, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Listen, that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Oh, can I tell you, Jesus went to the cross, and there at the cold, cruel cross of Calvary, he tasted death for every man. This lamb had to be killed. That's why in Isaiah 53 and 5, the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Brother Ray, we are healed. That's why the old Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter and 2, that who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the lamb came to die. He came to be killed, because on the cross of Calvary he took my sin and he took your sin and he died the death that I should have died. Amen. He had to be killed. And notice what else they did. Are you with me? Say amen. Notice what else they did. They took the blood. Notice this. Here was the door. Here was the door. Look up here. I'm hard to miss. Here was the door. They said, you take the blood of that lamb, you put it on the side post and the upper door post. You put it on the side post and the upper door post. I'm no theologian. What's that look like to you? That looks like two crosses to me. Guess what? On Calvary, Jesus hung between two crosses. And you know what he said? He said, I'm the door. I'm the door, and by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, praise God for the blood. Amen. Oh, they put the blood of the lamb on either side of that door, and slap dab in the middle was the door. That was a picture of Jesus, who is the door by which you and I can enter in and be saved and have our sins forgiven and be brought into a right relationship with God. Oh, thank God for the blood. Can I just tell you something about the blood? Somebody said, now preacher, surely you don't preach that old gory, bloody religion. Oh, yes, I do. Because here's what Paul said in Romans 5, 8 and 9. He said, but God. Ooh, I like it when God butts in. Amen. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Hey, that takes out you being worthy, isn't it? That takes it out of me being worthy. He said, but God commendeth. That word just means demonstrated. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, you know what that means? Ooh, even better. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah, friend, amen. You know what? The only thing that kept the Israelites from suffering the judgment and the wrath of God was the blood of the Lamb. As God passed through the land of Egypt and His judgment and His wrath was being poured out upon Egypt that night, and there was a cry like there had never been before, the only hope they had, the only security they had, the only thing that would justify them before the sight of the holy God was the blood of the Lamb. And through His blood, they were justified and spared the wrath of an almighty God. Amen. Someone said, well, preacher, that's good for them. What's that got to do with us? Glad you asked. Since I've been up here preaching, you may notice I perspire a little bit. And I've been wiping my sweat, been wiping my spit. That's a Bible word, by the way. And if I was to come back to you and say, you know, brother, I appreciate you being here today. And in honor of my appreciation, I want you to take my handkerchief home. Put it on your shelf, and whenever you see that old sweaty thing, you think of me, amen. You'd say, preacher, you're crazy. That'd be right. But listen, the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that your righteousness and my righteousness in the sight of God is a filthy rag. Just like you wouldn't want to handle my sweaty, spit-riddled handkerchief, your righteousness, your goodness is a filthy rag in the sight of God. And I'm here to tell you, friend, the only thing that will justify you today in the sight of God, and the only thing that will justify you in the day of the judgment of God is the blood of His only dear Son. And if you want to escape the wrath of an almighty God, the only hope you have is in the blood. Amen. They said years ago, decades ago, there was an old preacher by the name of George Truett. George Truett was from Hayesville, North Carolina, but later moved to Dallas, Texas, and became the pastor of the famed First Baptist Church of Dallas. Brother Truett was one of the first men of God to ever get a radio program. This is how long ago this took place. He was one of the first preachers to get a radio program. Brother Truett had folks in his church that was concerned about lost people. They would go to the slums of Dallas where the drunkards and the prostitutes and all of those that lived in depravity were, and they would buy radios. And they would take their radios to the slums of Dallas, and they would let people listen to the gospel being preached. There was one lady in his church that was a nurse, and there was a prostitute in the slums of Dallas that was sick and dying, and this woman would go to her home and nurse and help take care of her, and she bought a radio for her and brought it to her home so she could hear Dr. Truett's program on Sunday morning as he preached the gospel. This particular day, Dr. Truett took for his text Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Woo! Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, listen, the nurse sent word to Dr. Truett that God began to convict the heart of this harlot, this prostitute, and sent word for Dr. Truett to come and pray with her and talk to her about her soul. Dr. Truett came as quickly as he could, and when he walked into the home of this harlot, he took off his hat, he extended his hand, and he said, I'm Dr. George Truett. The harlot immediately withdrew her hand and put it under the covers. And she said, oh no, Dr. Truett. She said, you're a holy man, and I'm filthy, and my hands are dirty. She said, I can't shake your hand. And Dr. Truett said, all I could think to do was to pray And he said, I knelt by her bedside, and all I could think to pray was what I had preached that morning, Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. And about the time he was praying, he heard the words, stop. He opened his eyes, and the prostitute extended her hand. She said, shake my hand. Dr. Truett said, I thought your hands were filthy. I thought they were dirty. She said, oh, yes. But she said, I've just had a blood bath. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that can wash your sins away. Oh, you that are here today, filthy and ashamed and guilty, crushed under the weight of your sin. Oh, can I tell you, there's a remedy, friend. Oh, it's the blood. It's the blood. And it's only the blood. And so, can I say this? There are some who are convinced he's a lamb. You may be here today saying, oh, preacher, I believe every word. But then there are those who are convicted that he's the lamb. Today, that may be you. Today, God has dealt with you, and you're sure that there's nobody but him. No other way but him. He's the only hope you have. And then, your lamb. Those who have been converted, those who have come to him by faith, who have had that blood bath that that old harlot had. Can I say this to you as I get ready to close? How many will give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand. 5 more minutes, amen. 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. Notice what he called this lamb. Verse 21, he called it the Passover. He called this lamb the Passover. That's why we call this, because God said, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. I will not bring my judgment and my wrath when I see the blood. And Brother Ray, he called this lamb the Passover. Aren't you glad for what Paul said, Preacher Keith, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7? He said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Because you see, Exodus 12 is but a picture, a shadow, a type of Christ who was to come. And of Christ who did come. And as the Lamb of God was killed and shed his blood and became the Passover for all of those who will come to him by faith. Amen. If I was to ask you tonight, sir, ma'am, do you want to go to heaven when this life is over? Unless you were out of your mind, you would say, oh, yes, preacher, I want to go to heaven. Can I tell you the only way that you and I will ever escape the wrath and judgment of God is through the blood. The Bible said, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, our Passover. One more story and I'll be done in just a moment. Years ago, there was an old preacher by the name of Sam Jones. Sam Jones was an old man of God. He would travel and preach revivals. And there was a sheriff that lived in the town where Sam Jones lived, and he would continually try, Preacher Thad, to testify and witness to him and win him to Christ. And brazenly, like many, the sheriff would look the preacher in the eye, Brother David, he'd say, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. One day, Preacher Sam Jones came home from revival, and his wife met him at the door, and she said, oh, Sam, she said, the sheriff is sick. And he's on his deathbed. You need to go talk to him. You need to go pray with him. And immediately the preacher said, no. He said, I've talked to him many times. I've witnessed to him many times. And he's told me, I'm not afraid to die. She said, but oh, Sam, he's lost. Go talk to him. Sam Jones went to the house of the sheriff, knocked on the door. He went in, and there he lay on his deathbed. As soon as the sheriff saw the preacher, he brazenly one more time said, hey, preacher, I told you, I'm not afraid to die. The old preacher with a heart full of love knelt beside his bed. He looked the old sheriff in the eye and he said, yes, sheriff, but what about the judgment? And about the time they said that, old sheriff said, oh, God, he said, I've not thought about that.
And they said he about fell out of the bed when the thought of the judgment that was waiting him terrified his soul. Oh, he said, I'm not afraid to die. But the preacher said, what about the judgment? Because you see, Hebrews 9 and 27 said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to escape his judgment. And friend, I'm telling you, when you stand before him on that day, the only hope you have is the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that will get you to heaven, friend, is the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that will deliver you from the wrath and judgment of God is the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that will bring peace to your troubled soul and forgiveness to your filthy sin is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank God, he is my Passover today. And so, yes, as the singers come, he is a lamb, and yes, he's the lamb, but the question of the morning is this, is he your lamb? Someone might say, well, preacher, you know, there was a time that I came to Christ and I made a confession, and that was many years ago, but how is everything with you and him today? Oh, listen, he may have saved you many years ago, but today, is everything well with you and him? Today, is he your lamb? If he's not, friend, listen, you can get restored back into fellowship today. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You've never trusted in Christ. Listen, today, he can become your lamb. All someone might say, preacher, just before they sing, can you play something softly, Sister Joanne? Someone might say, oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done and where I've been and the mistakes I've made. Oh, listen, friend, the blood of the Lamb is sufficient to forgive you today. His blood can wash you and make you clean. You might be here and saved, and maybe there's something in your life you need to get under the blood. Maybe there's an attitude you've had, there's some things you've done, or maybe some things you have failed to do, and God has dealt with you, and you need to get under the blood. Aren't you glad for a mediator? Every head reverently bowed across this building.